We're going to talk about the parable of the sower today. And the Lord's just been dealing with me about some areas of Christian growth. Folks, it's time we grow up. It's time we get serious. And this is what this crazy love is about. This is not going to be about love. Well, it is about love, but it's going to be challenging. And that's what we need. We need to be challenged as Christians. It's so easy to get in a rut. It's so easy to get a bad attitude. It's so easy to do so many things in our Christian lives. And we cannot afford for that to happen. We've got a big job to do. Last night was awesome. Our praise team knocked it out of the park last night. It just, our skits, our videos, our testimonies. We had some wonderful testimonies last night. Jeff Cox was on fire. Alan Brown was through the roof. And, you know, it was just a great night of worship and celebrating the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. There are people out there who need to know what you know. And it's very important that we keep where we need to be or get where we need to be as Christians so that we can be the instruments that God wants us to be for His kingdom. Because this is not about Believers Community Church. This is about the kingdom of God. We're about the kingdom, and we need to get that mindset. And we need to be willing to follow the Lord wherever He leads and however He leads. I want to read in Mark chapter 4, verse 3. "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some fell by the wayside. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up and increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." Now that's a profound statement. He says, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. So he's saying, what is in this parable is the mystery of the kingdom of God. Okay? It says it's contained in this parable. "But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may not see and perceive, and hearing they may not hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, now this next statement I really like. He says, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" This is a key parable. I love this parable. I love this story. This is such a wonderful story that gives us great insight on how God works. See, I'm convinced that most Christians have no idea how God really works. They think you just pray a prayer and everything gets okay. Or you just, you know, you do this and you do that and everything gets okay. And it's all up to God. And God's saying, you know, really, God has done all He can do for us when Jesus went to the cross. He paid the price. And He gave us the keys to unlock the kingdom. And this is one of the keys that really unlocks the kingdom. And if you'll get a grasp on what this parable is saying, it's amazing how your life can change. This parable can absolutely change your life. It's such a powerful parable. And there's so much in here. Now let me tell you what this parable is about. This has been presented in so many ways, but it's about two things. And really it's only about two things. We've made it about money, and it's not really about money, although that principle applies to money. But this parable is not about money. This parable is about the seed, which is the Word of God, and the soil, which is the heart of man. That's what this parable is all about. Now, the first thing that it's about is about the power of the seed. The power of the seed. When Jesus begins to explain this parable, he says this. He says, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. And the thing that we need to look at is we understand this, that the seed and the word are interchangeable words. In fact, the word seed there is the Greek word sperma. And that has very much an ideal of a lot of things. And we get from the ideal that it is to be reproducing, productive, something that will produce. It says in Isaiah, if you got your Bible, flip there with me, Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 10. It says this. It says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word, everybody say my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So what's he saying here? The word is designed to produce. Can I say it this way? The word will produce the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? Jesus said, you know, they say, over here or over here. They're saying, here's the kingdom. He says, I'm telling you, the kingdom of God is within you. When you make Jesus Lord, when you ask Him to forgive your sins, come into your heart, He plants the kingdom on the inside of you. He brings you into the kingdom, and the kingdom is in you. This is where the kingdom comes from, the inside of us. When we come together as the church, we are part of the kingdom. The churches that are meeting in other places, First Assembly is meeting right now. They have a 9 o'clock service. Guess what? The kingdom's meeting over there. Is it a different kingdom than this kingdom? No, it's all the same kingdom, isn't it? So when you get born again, you're part of the kingdom. And the Bible likens your heart unto soil. And he says that the Word of God is designed that when it goes forth, just like in the natural, the rain comes down, the snow from heaven, and it returns not, it doesn't go back. But it waters the earth. And it makes it to bring forth and to bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Then he says, so shall my word. My word is like the rain and the snow that comes, that doesn't go back, but it is designed to make things be productive in the earth. He says, I have designed the word to do certain things. I have designed the word to produce whatever I please it to do. And what he has designed it to do is to produce the kingdom of God. And to cause the kingdom of God on the inside of you to grow and flourish. God wants to do for you what He can do in you and through you. We're always wanting God to do something apart from us. And there's times that He does things like that. But that does you very, very little good. What really works for you is what He does in you. Because what that does, that chisels your character. That raises your potential for productivity. And really the only true productivity that produces eternal value is which comes out of the heart of the born-again man. You can do things in the natural that look like spiritual things. But that's all they are. They do not have the power of the kingdom behind it, even though it's the same kind of work. See, you could feed the poor, but you could do it in the name of humanity. And all that produces is nothing eternal. But if you do it in the name of Jesus and you do it out of the love of God, that sows a supernatural seed into the lives of people that will produce in them. See, whatever we do and whatever we say, we need to do in the name of Jesus and for the love of God. Can you say amen? Are you out there today? We need to get this stuff because this is powerful. The Word is designed. The Word is powerful. The most powerful thing in the earth today is God's Word. The most powerful thing to you is God's Word. We need to hold it in high esteem. We have a tendency to lightly esteem it. And what we need is to highly esteem it. It needs to be the impacting factor in all of our lives. Then there's another scripture that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10. And we're talking about the first part of this parable is the power of the Word. And it says this, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." Here is the nature of what the Word does in us. Okay? The kingdom of God works much like seed time and harvest, because that's what it is. You put the Word in you. Not only will it produce out here, you know, the Word will produce the finances that you need. It'll produce healing in your body. It'll produce what we call the temporal things, the temporary things. How many of you know that wealth is a temporary thing? We need wealth while we're here. We don't need wealth up there. We're not going to have gold. That gold is not that valuable in heaven. They paved the streets out of it. The valuable stuff there is not going to be the gold. It's not going to be money. We're not going to need money there. We're not going to need wealth there. Jesus will be our wealth. The true crowns of God's wealth is the people that's been redeemed. That's the true wealth. And it, you know, if we will ever get a vision of that, and we'll quit seeking wealth for wealth's sake, and we'll start putting and esteeming people in the place that God does, you can prosper. God is looking for people that He can prosper that will put His way first. Okay? So this says that all of this stuff, this Word is in our life. It says that God supplies seed to the sower, and that the Word, bread for your food, and will supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. And this is one of the true things. What would we have in this life if we didn't have the righteousness of Christ? Do you think that you can produce enough righteousness to go to heaven? You can't do that. You can't work hard enough and do enough good stuff to deserve to go to heaven. Your righteousness is a free gift. But what God wants to do through the Word, He wants to increase the fruit of your righteousness. So this is one of the things that the Word is designed to do, is to increase the fruitfulness of our life. He's producing the kingdom in us, and everywhere we go, we have a righteous influence. Who should be the influencers in the world that you live in? It should be you. On your job, who should be the influencers? It should be you. And I'm talking about in your righteous relationship with God, you should be the influencer. You should be one that is changing the atmosphere. You ever work in a cruddy place? I work in a pretty good place. All I have to worry about is Joe and Gail. I pretty well got it made. But I have worked in places where there's gossip and backbiting and people just, you know, some of you are there. What a great place for you to increase the fruit of righteousness. What a great place for you to be the influencer. But here's what normally happens with lots of Christians. They wind up being the influenced and not the influencer. You say, what does this have to do with the power of the Word? This has everything to do with the power of the Word. When you get full of the Word, and you get this Word producing in your life like it's designed to do, See, we think that it's only designed to produce out here. No, it produces more in here than out here. What should happen is what's in here should be the thing that drives what's out here. And when we get out here minded, we get prosperous out here, whether it be in influence or wealth or whatever, at the expense of this in here, then we come into a place that we have a famine in our soul. And we don't need a famine in our soul because this out here will deceive us. And we're thinking because we're doing good out here that everything's good in here. It needs to be here and work its way out to the outside. Okay? Now, then Jesus goes on to explain the parable. The second part of this, the first part is, and it's two subjects. It's the power of the Word. And the second one, it is the condition of the heart. The condition of the heart. And he's talking about my heart and your heart. There's four kinds of soil that it talks about in this parable. Let's look at this again. Look in verse 14. He says, the sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. These are the people where the word is sown in their hearts. And the picture here is that their heart is hard. It would be like sowing seed on the parking lot out here. Their heart is hard. You know what happens? You know, we have weddings here every now and then, and they like to they throw the bird seed. It winds up on the parking lot. You know what? If that fell in ground, that would grow. In fact, I never will forget in Jody and Jenny's wedding. I don't know what kind of seed they had, but for some reason, I don't know if they went out the back door or what, but there was seed thrown everywhere, and we had a harvest of stuff all around the old church where people threw the seed. We had to cut all that down. It produced the seed. It produced that bird seed that, you know, you throw to the birds. If it falls on the ground, good ground, it'll produce a crop. And that's what it did. I think there was a sunflower in that, and I don't know what else was in there. But you know, out here on the parking lot, guess what happens? The birds come along and they get it. Why? Because the surface is hard. These are people who are hardened to the Word. Now, what's the Word designed to do? It's designed to produce the kingdom. What happens when people do not want to hear and they harden their heart? Guess what? Satan comes and steals the Word and it doesn't produce. That which was designed by God to produce does not produce because of the condition of the heart. Now, the second kind of heart, we'll pass over that one pretty quick. We'll dwell on some of these other ones a little bit. These likewise, verse 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Here is the kind of ground that has some dirt on top of it. But underneath, it's rock. There's the appearance of good soil, but on the underside, it's still rock. They hear the word. It says that they do what? They receive it with gladness. Guess what that word is designed to do? It is designed to produce the kind of seed that it is. It's designed to produce the kingdom. It starts growing. It starts shooting up. It starts shooting down. But guess what comes along? Now let me tell you something about the word. Anytime you hear the word, it's going to be challenged in your life. Anytime you give up and you give a testimony about something, it's going to be challenged. Satan will see to it that it's challenged. Okay? And if you don't have the depth, guess what? When that persecution comes along, you will be offended. This is the kind of thing it's describing. It appears on the outside that this person is good ground, but just underneath the surface, there is a hardness there. This is a person that is not truly dealing with the issues of their life that needs to be dealt with. They want to look good on the outside, but on the inside, there's still this hardness. Now, the other kind is just hard ground. It won't produce because the word won't penetrate it. The second one is shallow. Everybody say shallow. Look at your neighbor and say, he's not talking about you, is he? Shallow. These are shallow people. You know what God is looking for? He's looking for people who will really deal with their own hearts and allow Him to deal with their hearts. The Old Testament talks about plowing up the fallow ground. Plowing it up. Plowing it up. Now, that's not persecution, folks. That's decision. I can choose to love God. I can choose to resist God. I can choose to be open to the things of God. I can choose to resist the things of God. Now, there's a lot of factors that come in there. God has given me a free will, the ability to choose. I have the ability to choose. And my choice determines the depth of my heart. My attitude. Does your attitude affect the word? Does your attitude affect the word? Yes, it does. Does a stinky attitude keep the word from working in your life? Yes, it will. Have you ever noticed that when you get all out of sorts, how things spiritually start shutting down in your life? And when you start dealing with yourself, all of a sudden it just seems like things start clicking again. I wonder what that is. That's the condition. It's not God. It's you and your heart. It's the things that you choose. I can choose to be cranky if I want to. I can choose to be offended if I want to. I can choose to be out of sorts if I want to. Or I can choose to follow God. I can choose to be open. I can choose to let Wanda offend me if I want to. Or I can choose not to let her offend me if I want to. Yeah, but you don't know what they say. I don't care. You still choose how you're going to react to something. And however you react to things determines your heart condition. See, it's not God. Everything. Well, if God wants... No. It has nothing to do with that. This is the kingdom. This is how the kingdom works. It's sowing seed and reaping harvest. It's you dealing with your heart. Okay. So this is the shallow person. Has the appearance, but he's only so deep. And when he hears the word, he hears it with gladness, and it starts to work and it starts to grow, and all of a sudden the sun comes out and it beats down on the word, and it's just like persecution. They're offended. And it withers away because there's no depth and there's no moisture. That's the second kind. It's the shallow person. Here's the third one. Verse 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. I think this hits a lot of Christians here, this one. Well, that last one in this one. These are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. And the cares. Everybody say cares. Okay, what is a care? It is a concern. It is a worry. Look at your neighbor and say, did he say worry? 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 Look at the other side. He said worry. Will worry affect the word in your life? Now, it won't keep the word from producing out here. We don't stop the word, but you may stop it in your life. See, I'm not responsible for you. I'm not responsible for your heart. I can't make you. If I could, boy, you'd be a... No. I understand. I can't make you do what you're supposed to do. I can't make you have the right attitude. Only you can do that. I have to work on me, and I've got a full-time J-O-B working on little old me. Well, big old me. That's a job. Worry. Is worry wrong? Worry is a lack of faith. When you worry, you're not trusting. When you're trusting, you're not worrying. Yeah, but that's my spiritual gift. No, it's not. Just seem like I'm a natural born worrier. No, you're not. When you're born again, you're not naturally born to worry. You're naturally reborn to believe. Say, yeah, but there's worry in my life. Then deal with it. You need to spend some time with God in His Word, allowing the Word of God to work on your mind. We call it the renewing of the mind. Okay? Here we go. The cares of this world. The second one is the deceitfulness of riches. You know what one of the deceitfulnesses of riches is? That riches will make me happy. I've often thought, if I could have all the money that I wanted, how much would I want? I think, well, a million would be good. Then I'm thinking, yeah, but you know, so-and-so, he's got 10. Maybe 10. But you know, so-and-so, he's got 100 million. Well, maybe 100 million. What about the billionaires? Yeah, a billion. Well, if I had a billion, I could do this and that and that. You know, I could put it in the bank and live off the interest. Wouldn't have to touch it. Wouldn't have to worry. Wouldn't have to believe God for anything. Wealth will make me happy. I love land, and I think, how much land would I like to own? I'd like to own my land and everything that touches it. So what happens then? You want the whole earth. Then we go for the moon. See, the deceitfulness of riches is that if I have everything in life, then I'm going to be fulfilled and I'm going to be happy. That's the deceitfulness. And what it does, it draws you out of the realm of your relationship with God, because it's God that makes you happy. Wealth is a means to an end. Now, there's nothing wrong with wealth. It's dangerous. It's very dangerous. Wealth is dangerous. Lack of wealth is very dangerous. You don't have to have a lot of money to be guilty of the love of money. There's a lot of folks who have the sin of love of money and don't have a dime. Maybe those people that broke in here and stole our stuff, maybe that's what some of that was. Rich people could have love of money. Poor people can have love of money. It's the deceitfulness of riches. Riches is not the things that make you happy. It's a means to an end. You don't get to put it in the box with you when they bury you. Your kids are going to fight over it. If you don't dispose of it properly, it's going to be somebody else's deal to deal with. It's not those things that are important. They are important, but they're not the most important thing. So we get all caught up with stuff and making money and having influence and all of that, and we neglect our hearts, and other things grow in our heart, and you know what it does? It chokes the Word, and we're deceived. We're thinking that God has blessed us, when a lot of times it's the work of our own hand, and we're out here, we're flourishing, but on the inside we're a desert. We're producing nothing of eternal value. We're just producing out here. That's the deceitfulness of riches. Okay, we love this, don't we? I love this parable because it works on me. And the last one is lust for other things. It talks about the cares of this world, the worries, the thing that keeps us up at night worrying about, the deceitfulness of riches, the deception that riches bring. And then it puts a whole category, just lust of other things, all other stuff that we lust after at the expense of our relationship with God. What does that cause to happen in our hearts? Weeds grow up. And the Word cannot produce like it's supposed to. And here's the reason. Because we've made the wrong choices. We've made the wrong choices. Now the last one is the one that really makes Isaiah, where it says that the word shall not return unto me void, but accomplish that for which I sent it to. The last kind of soil really makes this one work. It's called the good soil. It says that he that receives seed in good soil is he who produces some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold because they're good soil. This is soil that's plowed up. This is the heart. This is the man that spends time examining his life. This is the man who spends time doing the things that he needs to do to keep his heart where it needs to be. Folks, this is our biggest challenge as Christians, is keeping our attitudes and our hearts right. When I say hearts, I'm talking about our attitude. Keeping the things out that needs to be out and allowing the things in that needs to be in. One thing that I like about CR, and last night was a whole lot about CR, Celebrate Recovery, there are 8 principles of life. And about 5 of them have to deal with self-examination and making restitution. 3 of them, all of them are pretty challenging, but when they get to number 4, people start freaking out. Because honestly, we do not like looking in the mirror at ourselves. We do not like examining our attitudes. We do not like dealing with ourselves. It's easier for me to judge you than it is for me to judge myself. But if we will judge ourselves, folks, we'll not be judged. This is the parable of the sower. The power of the word to produce. How much of the word, how much of the production of the word do you want in your life? Are you hard ground? Are you shallow? Are you distracted? Or are you good ground? Let me say this to you, and this is one of the things that this crazy love says. Don't assume that you're good ground. Don't just assume that you're good ground. You have to look at yourself. You have to continuously look at yourself and deal with yourself. I hate it when I wake up in the middle of a tiz. You ever get in a tiz? I get hacked off sometimes. I'm going to say, oh, well, that waitress that burnt my steak and didn't wait on me. I'd like to call the fire down. You know, I'm exaggerating a little bit. But you know, you get upset and you get in that mindset where you're all upset. And I'm waking up and think, boy, you're really Christ-like, aren't you? Yes, thank you, Lord. You have to deal with yourself. If you want the word to produce in your life, you got to deal with yourself. Closing verse is verse 24. He was saying to them, this is at the end of the parable, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given to you besides. He says, how you hear the word determines the productivity of the word. Little interest, little production. Medium interest, medium production. Obsessed, lots of production. Yeah, but I don't have time. That's the problem. You don't have time. But we want to be an exception. Well, Lord, you know I got to do this. Now I don't have time to pray and I don't have time to study. I can go to church when I can. Lord, I just don't have time because I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Oh, cares of this life. When you prayed to make Jesus what? What does Lord mean? Controller, CEO, boss, king, one who calls the shots. What are you doing calling the shots? Well, I don't have time. Oh, you've made some bad choices, haven't you? It determines the productivity of the word in your heart. Amen. Let's pray. I want to ask my prayer team to come. We're going to do things different today. We got people that love to pray with you. If you're here today and you have any kind of need whatsoever, we're going to invite you to come and they will be glad to pray with you. Father God, we thank you today as we pray you come. Father God, we thank you today for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you penetrate our hearts and our thinking. Holy Spirit, I'm trusting you to speak to the hearts of those, the things that need to be said. I bless you and I thank you and I praise you and I give you glory and honor. Lord God, draw people to yourself through your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Let's stay in an atmosphere of prayer. If you need prayer, come at this time. Don't hold back. If there's areas that you need to deal with, if you just need to say, hey, I need you to pray with me. I need to get some attitudes right. Just come on.